Okay, go ahead, please, Paulette.
Thank you, Ken. My name is Paulette. I'm an addict, and God bless America. I'm nervous, and I just want to get that out of the way. A sponsor had told me many times that I can't screw up my own story, so I'm going to go with that. All right, I'm going to share my experience, strength, and hope working this program from a secular perspective, but my experience, I want to qualify as an addict, like how I got clean, what my life is like now, and how I work this program without a higher power. So, one thing that I'm super grateful for is I was raised without religion, and I have plenty of people in my life who are damaged and traumatized and really screwed up by religion. And man, some of the stories I've heard just curl my toes. And but I do not have that particular conditioning to unlearn, and I'm super grateful for that. We went to a little bit of Sunday school, but by the time we were old enough to go to the regular church, my parents were having problems and they didn't want to go, so we didn't go. There were a couple of times when I was younger. I remember joining a Bible study and I didn't really know what it was about, but the only reason I did that was because there were other neighborhood kids doing that and I wanted to be a part of that group, and it was a community sort of thing. And so those are my experiences with religion. So the first 12 years of my life was fairly stable. My parents were both teachers. I lived overseas for the first 5 years of my life. It was closer to normal, but it's interesting. I used to say the first 12 years of my life was, well, I don't know if I use the word perfect, but it was pretty good. And I've come to understand that because my abuse was neglect and microaggressions, that it was really hard to identify what those things were. And for the longest time, I didn't want to look at my family of origin stuff because I thought if I did, it meant I didn't love my parents. And I loved my parents. They did the best they could, but it wasn't very good. So the first 12 years of my life was, they helped me with my homework. We had dinner every night, that sort of stability. There was always food on the table. But then my parents started having marital problems. I've come to understand that they had their own untreated trauma. And a therapist that my parents were seeing told my dad to go out drinking with his teacher buddies. And so he did. And he woke up the alcoholic in him and started drinking heavily. And I have three sisters, and my parents were so lost in their own dysfunction and their own sadness at the dissolution of their marriage that they forgot that they had four kids. And so at 12 years old, I had my first boyfriend, my first heartbreak, and I took my first drug. And it was nicotine, and I count that because that was one of the hardest for me to let go of. Like, nicotine holds on tight. So by the time I was 13, I'd lost my virginity because that's what some guy wanted. And I started using cocaine and weed. By the time I was 14, I had started using IV heroin. I had stuck my arm out and turned my head because I did not care for needles. And somebody shot me up. And that feeling that I got, I remember telling myself, I'm going to do this for the rest of my life. I love this. This is love to me. And so by the time I'm 15, I'm pregnant, I'm slamming heroin in the bathroom of my continuation school because I dropped out of or kicked out of regular high school. And I started choosing dangerous people to hang around. And these dangerous people had all the drugs, and that's what I wanted, and I wanted to be in this group, but they did not appreciate my education or nor my intelligence. And I was threatened because I just talk, and they, Paulette thinks she's better than us. So anyways, these threats of violence taught me to be quiet and to go along, to get along. I learned to be small, to not draw attention to myself, that it wasn't safe to have an opinion. And I lived that way from around 15, I suppose, I started doing all that stuff till I was 37. And I got clean when I was 37. And my journey to getting clean was I needed to get clean way before I did. And everybody else knew I needed to get clean except for me. But I had Hep C that was uncontrolled. My eyes were yellow. My hair was falling out. I had this lung inflammation called pleurisy. My teeth hurt. I couldn't brush them. I couldn't floss. I couldn't do any of that because I hadn't done that in so long. They were bleeding. I was really skinny, dangerously skinny. And so the thing that got me on my road to being clean is one of my neighbors was in recovery, and my husband knew this. I did not know this. And he invited me to his barbecue, and there was no alcohol and there was no drugs, and I was quite pissed off about that. But he started talking about being clean, and he sounded like me. He had stories like me. He was a little rough around the edges like me, and he's talking about being clean and being happy, and I just, oh my gosh. And so a little tiny seed was planted, and I started going to meetings, and I had to go loaded for like 8 months to a year because I could not stop using. I was so afraid of my feelings, of you, of everything, that I could not stop using. So that's why I love the third tradition. The only requirement for membership in this fellowship is a desire to stop using. I wanted to stop so badly, but I could not stop. And the drug, it was meth at the time, I think. It was killing me. I was like slowly deteriorating and rotting from the inside out. And that, anyway, so I started going to meetings and I started listening, and people were hugging me, and I hadn't experienced any human kindness like that in so long. I kept coming back for the hugs, and so I decided that I could get clean. I went into a detox hospital. I brought drugs with me. I didn't make it. I kept going to meetings. I tried it again, and I was ready. I was finally ready. Or no, I was ready at exactly the right time. And I got clean and I went into treatment and I started going to meetings every day clean for the first time. A couple of times at these meetings, I was yelled at that I was gonna die if I did not find God. And this was like in front of everybody, and it was humiliating. And I thought I believed this person. And so I went on a journey to find God. And I joined the Episcopal Church. I was confirmed and baptized in that church. I joined the choir. I'm in it. I am all in. And for, well, I know why, but I like to say for whatever reason, God never revealed itself to me. And I can't remember the exact reason why I stopped looking in that direction. I don't know what it was, but I did. And I thought, I can't pretend to be something I'm not. I have pretended to be somebody else my whole life. I can't do that in recovery too. This is supposed to be the place where I find health and wholeness and honesty and open-mindedness and willingness and all this stuff that are being talked about. I can't do this. So I gave up on that quest. And so I've been an atheist. I've really been an atheist my whole life. But in recovery, I felt like, because like I have this, I guess it's a habit of going along. Like I have said I have a higher power. I talk about my high, I'm not currently, but I have talked about having a higher power. And I just can't do that anymore. Like maybe it's been a few years since I've been doing that, but I just can't do that anymore. I'm trying to be authentic. I'm trying to be who I truly am, because when I got into recovery, I didn't know who I was. I had spent so long trying to figure out what you wanted that I didn't know what I wanted. And I know that I don't want to look for this God that I really don't believe in. It just doesn't fit my nervous system, and I can say no today to things that don't fit me. And that's the biggest one. One thing that I am is a step worker, and I've worked the steps in NA many, many times, and I've really found that I have to edit them to work for me. But basically, in step one, I admit that I'm powerless over my addiction and it's made my life unmanageable. What does that look like? Write it down. Tell somebody and tell them the truth to the best of my ability. Step number two has always been problematic, except when I condense it down into I'm going to ask for help. That is step two for me. Ask for help. Step three is accept that help. And when I condense it down into words that make sense to me, then they're meaningful and I can do some really good work with them. Step four, made a searching and fearless. I don't like the word moral, because supposedly we have a disease, which I don't really buy anymore. But supposedly we have a disease. So if I have a disease, why is morality involved at all? So, anyways, I take the word moral out, make an inventory and assets and liabilities, write it down. What are some shitty things that I've done? What are some shitty things that have been done to me? And tell somebody and be as honest as I can. And that's step five, basically. Step six and seven, identify those areas in my life that are problematic for me. Like the slippery places, or the like, I have fear of making a mistake, fear of authority figures, fear of humiliation. I have all these fears, and it stops me from living my life to its fullest and in the best, or in the best life that I can live. So, what are the problem areas? Write it down. Tell somebody. Hope maybe a sponsor, maybe another person in recovery. Step eight, make a list of all the people I've harmed and become willing to make amends to them all. Yeah, I've done this a bunch of times. Again, it's this morality thing that I have a problem with, because if I have a disease, again, which I do not buy, why is morality in there? Why are these things wrong? These are responses to trauma. Anyway, so I've made eight-step lists. I've made amends, because I behaved badly, and I kind of get that. I don't know. Eight and nine are kind of problematic for me. Step 10, stay connected to my source. My source is the universe. It's not a deity. It's not anything. It's the group of drug addicts that sustain me, that keep me on track by sharing their stories and interacting with me. Step 11, no. Step 10 was continue to take personal inventory. So, like when I blow it, I blew it. Sorry about that. I did not mean to do it. I'll try to do something different next time. Sorry. And then 11, stay connected to my source. 12, carry the message. Be a good example of a woman in NA. I don't shout it from the mountaintops, but I don't keep it a secret that I'm in recovery, long-term sustained recovery with no relapses. Yeah, because I can't really count that time I brought drugs into the detox hospital because I was never in recovery. Like be a messenger, be an effective, attractive messenger. I go to meetings and sometimes I don't go to a lot of in-person meetings anymore. Mostly it's online. Because I just like I'm up to here with the God stuff. It just anyway, I wish I could be neutral about it, but I'm not. So when I do go to or when I have gone to in-person meetings and I share my worst shit, I mean the stuff I think I'm gonna take to my grave with me, the thing that always happens is somebody comes up and asks me to sponsor them. That's what happens when I'm honest and I'm open. There's an attractiveness about that people hear. Like they see me being honest and it gives them permission to do it too, to share a secret that they thought they couldn't possibly tell. When I was working my first fourth step with my sponsor, who happens to be in this room, I shared some stuff. I thought I was going to have to stick a fork in my eye that, she's going to hate me. All is lost. And she told me a couple of her own stories that were way worse than mine. And I thought, oh, I can do this. I can do this. If she's doing it, she doesn't hate me. I wasn't struck by lightning. I can do this, and I can do it without a higher power, without a God, without whatever we're calling it, a spiritual connection to whatever. I can do it because all I need is you and me, and that's a complete story. I don't need anything magical anymore or fantasy anymore because I've got you guys and I've got this group. And I think that's all for me. So thank you for asking me to share, and I will keep coming back. I will keep come back.